Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 8th day of September 2023. And tonight we have on the board our producer, none other than Josh Booth. Hey, Josh. You're supposed to say, hey. There you go. And we have live in the studio, none other than our tech guy, Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone.
And I can hear that familiar racket coming all the way out there from Houston, Texas. That racket that's only made for one fella, and that is... How should we introduce him tonight? It's going to be a hard one.
The Texas Tornado.
Texas Tornado, that's a good one. John McTernan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. Thank
Hello.
You.
Hello.
For your
tonight.
Introduction, and God bless you and all our listeners.
Well, the same to you. We have a whole lot to talk about tonight. We got to get right to it. Kind of getting a little bit of a late start, but we're going to get into... I've been preaching all week long on the written word of God, the King James Bible. Why the King James Bible are superior to the hundreds, almost 400 now, English versions of what is supposed to be the Bible. And Lord knows how many altogether. But we've been working all week showing you how the King James Bible, God didn't give us 100 Bibles, he gave us one. And why it is superior in every way to all of the others out there, okay, all of the modern versions. And when I say one Bible, I'm talking about the texts that he uses, the manuscripts that he uses, the Masoretic manuscripts and the manuscripts in the Textus Receptus. And so let's take a look at picking up where we left off. In Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, we read this. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish out from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you. Now, do you remember how they used to promote the NIV Bible when it first came out?
Oh, yeah, Pastor Ernie. I remember massive advertising, I mean, millions of dollars. Easier to read, more modern, all sorts of things like that.
Well, the main thing I remember, they had a guy, you know, the family Bibles you have at home, the table Bibles you have, where you list, you know, the great big Bibles where you list your all the births.
Family Bible. Family. It's like a family, one of those big family Bibles.
Yeah. You list all your births, your weddings, your baptisms, and your funerals, and all that in there. Well, it's a big Bible. And they would have a commercial. There'd be a guy trying to walk into a church carrying this big Bible. It looked like he barely hold it up, okay? But then you've got this guy dressed real nice, and he's smiling. And he's carrying this nice, very small, slim NIV Bible. Well, the reason it's so thin, and that's how they promote it, is a slimline Bible, is they have removed out of there, John, 64,576 words have been removed out of that compared to the King James Bible and the Geneva Bible. And so, an alarming here again display of satanic perversions are involved here, Joe. And we're going to take a look at some of these tonight, John. Now, in Revelation 22:19, it says, "If any man shall take away from the words of this book or this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." Boy, that's serious. That's serious. Okay. "And out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book." Do you remember a fellow named Dr. Frank Logsdon, John?
Oh, yeah, Pastor Ernie. He was the one that was behind the scenes putting together the New American Standard.
Right. In fact, he was the co-founder of the New American Standard Version. And, you know, as people like you and I, as we started confronting him, saying, you know, asking about this, "You've changed this, you've changed it. How can you do this?" And, well, he started going back and looking at what he had done, researching. And then he came to the conclusion, and here's what he wrote after he did that. He said, "I must, under God, denounce every attachment to the New American Standard Version. I'm afraid. I am in trouble with the Lord. I wrote the format. I wrote the preface. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. It's wrong. It's terribly, terribly wrong. It's frighteningly wrong. The deletions are absolutely frightening. There are so many. Are we so naive to believe that we do not suspect satanic deceptions in all of this?" And so, and that's the fellow who was the co-founder and of the American Standard Version.
What caused his epiphany? When did he come to this realization?
He came to this realization when a number of people called him and started asking, "How could you do this?"
Oh, okay.
And we started pointing out things like we're going to point out here tonight. Okay. Hmm. And when he started looking at it closely, taking a closer look, he came to that. John, do you remember what happened on the John Ankerberg show some years ago? I was.
Oh, yeah. That's when I don't remember who it was, but lost the speech.
There were three of them, and I think Logsdon might have been one for the New Age versions. Three of them were there to represent the NIV and the ASV and that, but there were two pastors, and of course Ankerberg was for the New Age versions. And there was two Baptist pastors that were there to represent the King James Bible. And during that, the others, those that were there to defend the New Age versions, lost their speech. They couldn't speak right on live on air. They went into a panic live on air. God shut their mouth.
Yeah, I think one was the man who produced, back then it was called the Living Bible.
Yeah.
And he never regained his speech after that.
Well, anyhow, let's take a look at some of the things here that we've been doing. That I've been going through the Bible and looking at some of the things that the reasons why. And of course we went there in Isaiah 14:12, where they literally called Lucifer the morning star, which is
the
name
title
for Jesus.
For the Lord.
Yeah, that's the name for Jesus. And so the King James Bible says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? But here they refer to him as the morning star. Revelation 2:16. The morning star, or the day star, that is the Lord Jesus himself. So they referred to Jesus as the devil. And then here, they said, and we talked about this one too, over in Psalm 9:7, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, right? Now, the NIV reads, the wicked shall return to the grave. Shall return to the grave. Let me ask you a question. How many people that you know are going to go to the grave?
Everyone.
Everyone, Pastor.
But what if we're not wicked? Well, the righteous is going to go to the grave too?
Yeah. Waiting for the resurrection.
So then what they did is they changed that to make it to read just the opposite, right?
Plus, going to the grave doesn't sound so bad.
Well, It's compared to hell. In Isaiah 14:15, King James Bible condemns Lucifer to hell. He says, you shall be brought down to hell, okay? The NIV and the NASV and the NRSV and the New King James, which I tell people, the New King James is not the King James. Do not, have nothing to do with that. They change it, huh? They change it from hell to the grave again. You shall be brought down to the grave. We're all going to be brought down to the grave, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so,
Pastor Ernie, the word hell is a very, very, very powerful word. And if you're sharing the gospel with someone, and it should come up that you need to talk to that person about the plight or the final place of the people that have rejected the Lord, and you use the word hell, it has real impact. The grave, no, and a lot of the modern Bibles use the term Hades or Hades, no, but hell has power behind it, Pastor Ernie.
Let me ask you this here. When we read this, in Leviticus 18:22, the Bible reads, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. That's a message to the LGBTQ, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pure and simple.
Well, so the Bible says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with a womankind. It is an abomination. Now, the NIV says, do not have sexual relations with a man as one does with a woman. It is detestable. Now, let me ask you this. What's the difference between being detestable and being abominable?
Abominable means something that's loathed by God. It's like repulsive to him. That's what abominable means.
Very grievous, he says in Genesis, it's very grievous, okay? So that means you're absolutely right. It's absolutely repulsive. Detestable means what? You disagree with it. It's not.
Yeah, you don't like it.
Yeah. So do you think you're taking a softer stand than sodomy?
Absolutely. That's part of that watering down, Pastor. And there's verses deleted, his words deleted in these modern translations, and then there's like a general watering down of the impact of the words that are being used. Yeah, there's a huge difference between abominable and detestable.
Okay, if we go over to, for an example, we're just looking at some more examples of this. Here we see over in John 8:44, the Bible reads, let me Well, I'm going to miss that one there. Okay, I had my notes out here. I had just written. And that one's a little messed up, that note. But anyhow, let me go over to Acts 8:37. This is a good one. The King James Bible reads, "And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Listen to this. The NIV, the NASV, the RSV, the NRSV, and the other New Ages, they took out the entire verse. They removed the entire verse. Okay? So, we're, as you look at this here, this is why the NIV is so light to carry. It's just an amazing thing. So,
well, Pastor Ernie, can I add something to that?
Yeah, that's why you're here.
Thank you. Well, I don't want to interrupt you.
Go for it.
When you go to Luke chapter 4 in the King James, and you go to verse 18, I refer to this as the ministry of Jesus Christ. And this is when he read from the Old Testament in the synagogue there in Nazareth. He was reading from what we call today would be Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. But in the Luke, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Then it says, "He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised." Now, in every, all these modern versions, it takes out, "He sent me to heal the brokenhearted." It's out, Pastor. It's gone.
Well, you know, when you remove 64,000 words, okay, that's a whole lot that's not there, huh?
With the meaning of it, though, it takes, see, when I look at that verse, because I actually call my ministry, I refer to it as a Luke 4:18 ministry, and that's ministering to people for healing the broken hearts. So that's out of Luke. And when you read that, you've taken out one of the cores that people need after coming to Christ. Everybody's got a broken heart. So they've taken that out. And the people, they're not being ministered to, and that's one of the reasons with broken hearts. But they've tampered with the ministry of Jesus Christ in that verse. Why in the world would the Holy Spirit take out of Luke 4:18, "He had sent me to heal a broken heart"?
Well, why would they take out through his blood? If you go over, for example, and read in Colossians 1:14, the King James Bible reads, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin." The NIV and the, not only that, the AS, the NASV, the RSV, the NRSV, the whole bunch of them read, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So they've taken the blood out completely, huh?
Yeah, that's watering down, Pastor Ernie, that I'm talking about. That's lessening the power of the word.
And Luke 2:33, the King James Bible reads, and this is a very important one, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Now, who was the father of Jesus?
The Holy Spirit?
No, God the Father. Oh, the Holy Spirit was the Lord's Spirit.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And so here, it reads, King James, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." The NIV, the NASV, the whole list, going down that whole list again. The child's, here's what they read. "The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him." So what did they do? They took away the deity of Christ, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then here, I mean, it's just, it's one after the other.
They could have just said mom and pop.
Yeah. one of the important ones too is in Philippians 2:6. Well, the two of them that really donate or manifest that the fact that Jesus Christ was God is 1 Timothy 3:16 more than any other, I think, in the Bible. It says, in the King James Bible reads, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." And here, the King James clearly, God was manifest. God was manifest in the flesh. The NIV, the whole list of the others, you know, the NRSV, the RSV, and all of them, they've changed God to He. It says, listen to this, they've changed from God being manifest into the flesh, that He appeared in a body. How many people do you know it's going to appear in a body?
Everybody.
So that would really be diminishing His deity, wouldn't it?
It makes it confusing, Pastor Ernie.
Well, if you go over to Philippians,
when I hear that He was manifested in the flesh, you know, I mean, who was that He? Who are you identifying as He?
I saw you appear in the flesh.
Right. Right.
But you weren't God. And
right, exactly.
Well, they did it again in Philippians 2:6. In Philippians 2:6, it says, the King James Bible clearly declares the deity of the Lord Jesus. Here's what it says. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The new translations, the whole list of them, even the new King James, the 1979 King James, reads this way. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. So that is totally denying the deity of Christ again, isn't it?
Yep.
There you go, Will. This concludes go ahead.
Oh, Pastor Ernie, I wanted to tell you how they tampered with the Lord being the only begotten Son of God.
Oh, yeah.
Can we spend a few minutes on the other side of the break about it? Because it's so clear and so outrageous what these modern translations have done.
Yeah, okay, we can do that. We'll be back right after this with more.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty.
cause is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore.
We're not going to take it anymore. No, we're not going to take it. We haven't been taking it. We've been pushing back and pushing back hard because God's word, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, tells you the resistance to tyranny is obedience to God, but failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience. So we've been, from day one, we've been pushing back hard. And so, John, pick it up. You were talking about sons of God, the Son of God versus sons of God.
Yeah, the Pastor Ernie, starting in the mid-1990s, for about 10 years, I spent an enormous amount of times with the rabbis, with Islam's top apologists, they called them anti-missionaries, debating them, and many others. And one thing, early on, I was watching a debate between an NIV preacher and a Muslim apologist, and the apologist ate this NIV preacher alive. It was embarrassing, and it was all over John 3:16, because the King James says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now there are five scriptures that refer to the Lord as the only begotten Son of God, and so. What happened was the NIV and some of these other translations, they say is the one and only Son. They don't say only begotten. Now, the Muslim apologist was saying that your Bible is a lie. It lies because God has many sons. And he said, I'll never forget it. And I was glued listening to this. He said, you as a Christian, you believe that you're a son by adoption. And he listed them all. He said, Adam, according to your Bible, Adam was the son of God. And that the angels are called the sons of God. And then I looked, and when Solomon sat on the throne of David there, he sat as the son of God. And there was one more, the Jews. In Exodus 4, God called Israel his son. And this NIV preacher tried, I don't know, Pastor Ernie, the Greek this, the Greek that. And all this Muslim apologist kept on saying, well, you could say what you want, but your Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only son, and God has multiple sons. Your Bible lies. And that, to this day, Pastor Ernie, he is the only unique. He is the only begotten Son of God from eternity past. There never was a time within the Godhead that for eternity within the Godhead was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is the only begotten Son of God from eternity who came to earth to redeem us. So that verse, changing that from only begotten to one and only, is a huge lie. It goes after the integrity. My faith is built upon when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was the sinless, only begotten Son of God. So,
you know who else shares that opinion with you? Let me tell you. I'll read it to you right out of Matthew chapter 17, verses 4 through 6. Ready? And then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Remember, Moses and Elias appeared with Jesus. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. God was kind of being very specific there, wasn't he? Okay.
And he was, Pastor.
When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces. They were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And so here, so he made it pretty clear, right? And when Jesus was baptized, what did God the Father say?
This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Yeah. And so,
well, Pastor Ernie, I eventually engaged the Muslims and Judaism's anti-ministry, anti-missionaries and that. And they tried that on me, like I just told you with that NIV preacher. So I told them that I believe in the authorized version. It's the Word of God. That's what I stand on. They could not. They tried. They could not dislodge me. They couldn't. And finally, they gave up because I stood on the King James. It thwarted them. Now, I ended up years back debating one of Judaism's arguably top anti-missionaries in New York, Rabbi Tobias Singer. I took the King James with me. When I made references, I used the King James. I did absolutely fine. The King James stood the test of time.
So did he agree with you on the Torah?
No, he did not. he actually attacked the Masoretic text, which the King James is based on. It's in the debate, Pastor Ernie. I am a Gentile defending the Masoretic text to a Jewish, top Jewish rabbi who's attacking it and says, oh, there's more scholarly documents and all since the Masoretic text. So, yeah, in fact, when I was tangling with him in the debate, I was laughing at myself saying, I'm a Gentile defending the Jewish Masoretic text.
Yeah, and that, you know, that Masoretic text, it took 1,000 years to complete that, the Old Testament.
Well, what happened was when the King James was being translated, when they were doing the Old Testament, they really went to the Jews. I don't know if they bought one. I think they bought one. They bought a Masoretic text from it and then translated the Old Testament right directly from the scriptures that was used as passed down from generation to generation as being the Word of God. So that's how the Old Testament in the King James, that's how we obtain the underlying document that's called the Masoretic text from the scripture that had been hand down. That's what the King James bases the Old Testament on.
Well, here it says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So there you go. That kind of makes a lie out of the NIV, huh?
Yeah, well, the lie is Jesus Christ is not the one and only Son. The biggest lie, it is that he is the only begotten Son of God.
Yeah, that's not a lie. He is the only begotten Son of God.
But, right, yeah. Right, he is. The lie is he's not the one and only.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's very good. All right, very good, my friend. And do you know what the Bible says over in Psalms 119, Psalms 89. And here's what it says. Now, do you know the 119 Psalms is the middle of the Bible, right? Did you know that Psalm 89 is the middle of the 119 Psalm? It's right in the middle. And here's what it says. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And if it's settled in heaven, it's settled right here too. So that's the end of the Bible study. And I wanted to say, I'm going to be, Lord's willing, this coming Sunday, at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, I'm going to be taking a look at the miraculous, just parts of the Bible, the amazing book that God's Word, the Bible, is, how it is so far advanced. You know, you're talking about science and technology and knowledge. God's Word, the Bible, is light years. There's nothing on this earth that compares with, first, the power, second, the authority of the Word of God. And so we're going to take a look at some of the miraculous things in the Bible, prophecies that were made thousands of years in advance, and how did the prophets know these things were going to happen? Who told them? We got a pretty good idea, don't we? All righty. With that, and that's the Doers of the Word Baptist Church, and people say, well, Pastor, you got to give out the name. Two things. Let me do this here. First of all, the newsletter is going out, and we just had to up our newsletter by 100 because it's very popular. And do you know why it's popular? Let's ask Ron, see if Ron knows. Hey, Ron, why is our newsletter so popular?
Because the website makes it available. Yeah, that's probably not the right answer.
No, that's not the right answer.
It's because you pretty much put what you talk about during the week, each month, into the newsletters.
Well, actually, we do that, but we put other things that we don't even talk about that we miss because there's so much. But the things in the newsletter, the information we put out in the newsletter, is that something that NBC, ABC, CBS, and the whole deep state want you to know?
No.
So it's what all the fake media does not want you to know, what they try the hardest to keep from you, huh?
Yep.
And so, folks, you're going to find out we were way out ahead. Way out ahead. In fact, 3 weeks before the very first what they call COVID vax was given, we were telling you it wasn't a vax at all. And then we mailed the newsletters out to people, and we got a good response back by people saying, I was going to get that until I got your newsletter. And we didn't. And then we get letters saying, well, I told my friend or I told my spouse, and they didn't agree, and they got the shot and died. But I didn't because of your newsletter, okay? So virtually we had people actually telling us we saved their lives by the newsletter. But anyhow, so you can get that newsletter. You can go up to the website there. It tells you how. Or you can just send us a letter with your address really written very, very clear. And it wouldn't hurt to put your phone number in there too. So if there's any question. And
sometimes you can't read, you know, what the address is.
That's why I tell them very, very clear. And so you can send it to WRWL at 14781. That's 14781 Sperry, Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. Now, at that same address, Sunday morning, we have Bible study starts, in-depth Bible study. An in-depth Bible study. The smartest people at Doers are there at 8:30 in the morning. And folks, and then we have another one at about 9:45. And regular service starts at about 11:15. And then in the afternoon, we always have a class called The Bible and Current Events, which is really good because we show you, you know, John, everything in the Bible, there's so much that has been, all of this stuff that's happening today was all prophesied, and it shows you, the Bible tells you where it starts, it shows you how it continues, and it shows you how it's going to end. So if you understand that, and here we show you these videos showing what is happening out there and then showing you what the Bible has to say about it. It's very, really interesting. Again, taking you back to just the knowledge and authority of God's Word. And that usually is about 4 o'clock. We usually have that film at 4 o'clock from 4 to 5, and then from 5 to 6 is the evening service. And so that's what we do on Sundays. It's quite a day, but we get a lot done, and all to the glory of God. And so with that, I got to tell you this. Do you know who Enrico Tarrio is? Errico Tarrio, he was the leader of the Proud Boys.
Yes.
And they have sentenced him now to 22 years in prison. 22 years in prison. And people are asking you, this Judge Timothy Kelly, and by the way, guess what? Trump appointed this Timothy Kelly, and this guy really turned on him and turned on you and I here. Do you know why? Because his wife works for Mayor Muriel Bowser, who hates Christians. They hate Christians. They hate patriots, and they hate Christians. She's the mayor of D.C.
John, she's a hardcore lesbian, Pastor.
Yeah, I know. Would you do this right now? Would you ask in a precatory prayer against this Judge Timothy Kelly and Muriel Bowser? These are two very, and also Chunkin, that Judge Chunkin, who give more than maximum penalties on all the patriots. She gives them as much hard time as she can give all of the patriots there. And many of them have gone a year or 2 years before and haven't even had a trial. Would you, and that's Judge Chunkin, this Judge Timothy Kelly, and Muriel Bowser. And if all you folks out there, listen, God answers prayer. God answers prayer. And you have to use it. Prayer is an offensive weapon. It's where we start before we go to battle. You always see in the Bible, before they go to battle, the Lord Jesus made it very clear. Before he worked his miracles, he would pray first. Then he would raise the dead. He would pray, and then he would raise 5,000 or feed 5,000. He would pray, and then he would calm a storm. And so here we see all through the Bible, we see King David and others and the apostles in precatory prayers against evil. You know, Paul said he'll turn them over, their body over to the devil, that their soul won't burn in hell. And so would you pray a prayer? And folks, join John as we pray along. And that God would bring these wicked people, that he would humble these, whatever it would take to bring these wicked people to, or remove them, take them out. Would you do that, John?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we're before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we are humbled before you that these wicked people have been put into office. And Lord, it reflects the nature of our country, and they have raised their fist up against you. They are unjust judges and a unjust mayor, specifically against your people and patriots, Lord. So we're asking in Jesus' name that you would deal with these judges, Lord. We put them in your hands, and this mayor, we put them in your hands, Lord, to be dealt with. The system now has been corrupted. They can do what they want. The Constitution means nothing to them. And Lord, they are rogue, and we are asking that you rein them in. However, Lord, I have no idea how it could be done, but we're asking for you to rein them in, and that they would know that you are Lord in heaven as you deal with them. And then perhaps the nation might know also, as you deal with this corruption. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
You know, and the article says the U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly, a Trump-appointed magistrate whose wife works for D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, took a lot of pleasure in sentencing Tarrio to 22 years in prison on September 5th. Tarrio, the former national chairman of the Proud Boys, a one-time congressional candidate, you know, he's the guy, remember they called him a white supremacist, and that,
yeah.
He's a Latino. And the Florida State Director of Latinos for Trump. John, there's a lot of noise coming up from your end. He's making a racket. What are you doing?
Nothing.
Boy,
sorry, Pastor.
Okay. Was not in the Capitol grounds. He was not even on the Capitol grounds during the Capitol riot. And he was not even in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. This is pure tyranny. It's pure tyranny. And so,
Pastor Ernie, what I read about it it was six phone calls, I think. They was the evidence against him was six phone calls. You know, the Constitution is very clear about sentencing people. You know, that it, I forget now, I think it's the Eighth Amendment, where when you're sentenced, they can't give you life in prison for, like, you know, jaywalking or things like that. So 22 years is really something, again, that's against the Constitution for that.
Yeah. Well, again, these people don't care about the Constitution. No, they hate the Constitution.
They don't care.
No, it's they are totally rogue. They've lost all legitimacy. There's no legitimacy left. There's no legitimacy in the Department of Justice or the FBI. They're rogue. There's just no legitimacy. We played a clip.
Did you see, Pastor Ernie, where that grand jury in Atlanta wanted to indict that senator from South Carolina?
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham and 21 others.
Yeah. Well, not only that, remember what they did. They said that there was an indictment before they convened the grand jury. That big fanny woman out there, she said that they were going to indict him before they even convened the grand jury. Now, here, 68% of the people in Washington, D.C., those that were polled to be for grand jury, 68% said that they found President Trump is guilty before they have a trial. Before he even has a trial, they found him guilty, okay? And so there you go.
Pastor Ernie, also one of Alex Jones' co-hosts there, Schroyer is his name, Owen Schroyer, they convicted him of, I think, trespassing or something.
He's a talk show host, yeah.
Yeah, the talk show host, yeah. And in the write-up for sentencing, they put in that he spoke openly about fraud of the 2020 campaign. That was one of the reasons for sentencing him, was he spoke about the fraud in the 2020 campaign. I mean, there's the First Amendment gone. So tonight, and just briefly as we're going over this, they busted the First Amendment, and then they busted the amendment about excessive sentencing. I just can't think of the amendment right now, but it's in there about you're not supposed to be excessive sentencing of people.
And you're entitled to a swift hearing.
Due process
of the law. And anyhow.
These judges are basically just like Joseph Stalin sitting in his bedroom at night writing down the list who's going to the gulags. It's very similar.
Absolutely. Yeah. What did it say? Show me the man, I'll show you this, a crime. Okay. Yeah. And so.
Yeah, one of the other defendants that was just tried and found guilty, he said that they wanted to force him to testify against Trump.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted it made up. You know, they were going to make something up, and that he would agree to it, and they would give him lesser time or whatever they promised him. So this is against the former president of the United States, Pastor Ernie.
I got news for you. He is the current president. He's the legitimate president.
I agree
president.
With you. Yeah. I agree with you. But in a, I don't know what sense you want to look at it. He's not sitting on the in the White House. But anyways, against the legitimate president is the way to say it. They wanted him to testify as a false witness.
But yeah, the FBI has gone totally corrupt. I was just quoting here. We played a clip, and in the clip it was talking about Ted Gunderson, former director of the FBI for all the Southwest, okay? He was the director of New Mexico, Texas, Colorado, California, Oregon, and Nevada, okay? And that was his territory. He stayed up here with me. And I asked him about, you know, we talked about communism, and of course He was investigating the child sex trafficking. And he told me, I asked him if he was worried about the AKGB or whatever. He said no. He said he was much more concerned about rogue agents within the FBI. And he said they want to kill me. And eventually they got him. They got him. They poisoned him. And so there you go. And that was, and here was one of the leaders. And so I know that a lot of the field agents, I know some FBI agents, they're good people. They're not all that way. They're more ashamed of Chris Wray and Merrick Garland than we are, because and you saw how they treated the FBI agents that came forward and told the truth, did the right thing, obeyed the law.
Yeah.
You see how they treated them. This is pure terrorism. This is communism, and this is pure tyranny that we're fighting. And so, but we have to fight it. We have to beat it. And so you have a quick article there, Ron?
Yeah, America Legal First obtains over 1,000 emails between Vice President Biden and Rosemont Seneca. And if you remember, Biden said during the debates and during, it was actually this year, that he had no dealings whatsoever.
Yeah. None at all.
So the Gateway pundit previously reported on the emails from Hunter's laptop, and there's over 1,000 emails from Rosemont Seneca to the office of the vice president. And it is clear as day. The evidence is there, and nobody's talking about it other than us.
This is an amazing thing. I watched on CNN. You hear me? CNN? And the talking heads on there, they were discussing that debate. And one of them said about Biden and taking money from Russia, that woman that mayor's in Russia. And the host of CNN, like this, with amazement, yes. The eyes are big, said Trump was right. Trump was right. It's like you know, well, guess what? Trump's been right all along, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. And if you remember, they actually clarified during one of the debates, the moderator actually chimed in, well, no, this is not true because it blah, blah, blah. That's not their job. That's to provide substantiation.
Oh, yeah. And they always go against Trump.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to play a clip. And this is a very interesting clip, folks, so you want to listen carefully. And I'll introduce that clip just before we go to it. So we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come. A lot more.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up, I want to be hired based on what I look like.
Rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.